for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A federal court again slaps down a permit for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. One poll predicts that an independent candidate for president in 2020 will help President Trump a lot. And can a new dorm at JMU, named after one of Madison's slaves, coexist with other dorms on campus named after Confederates? This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, February 26th. Federal appeals court will not reconsider allowing the Atlantic Coast Pipeline to cross two national forests, including parts of the Appalachian Trail. The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday rejected a request from lead pipeline developer Dominion Energy and the U.S. Forest Service to hold a full court rehearing. In December, a three-judge panel of the 4th Circuit sharply criticized the Forest Service, saying the agency lacked authority to authorize the pipeline's crossing of the trail. The panel also said the agency, quote, abdicated its responsibility to preserve national forest resources. The 600-mile natural gas pipeline would originate in West Virginia and run through parts of North Carolina and Virginia. Rockingham County officials say a young male was killed by a train in Elkton on Sunday. The Daily News Record reports that rescue teams found the boy lying unresponsive on the east side of the railroad track just after noon. Fire Department spokesman Steve Powell said the circumstances do not appear suspicious. The body was turned over to law enforcement. Powell did not identify the boy or his age. A Wasson poll released Tuesday morning predicts an independent candidate on the 2020 ballot for president dramatically improves President Donald Trump's chances of re-election. WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
The poll shows an independent would hurt a Democrat five times as much as it would hurt Trump.
What we find is actually kind of astounding.
Wasson Poll's Rachel Bitterkofer says in a head-to-head matchup, Trump trails a generic Democratic Party nominee among likely voters by 11 points, 37% to 48%, with 9 undecided.
But when we throw in an independent into the race, we see a drastic change. Trump is actually leading the Democrat by 2 points. 34% to 32%. And that's because 16% go with the independent, and another 16% report being undecided in that scenario.
She says the poll was prompted by former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz's potential candidacy as an independent and speculation about how an independent might affect the outcome. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Partisan gerrymandering in Virginia politics may soon be a thing of the past, but the long fight will continue for at least another year, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
In the final few hours of the General Assembly's session, behind closed doors, in a secret meeting, lawmakers crafted a way to prevent lawmakers from drawing their own districts in secret closed-door meetings. It may end up ending the practice of partisan gerrymandering, where the party in power punishes the party out of power. Brian Cannon at One Virginia 2021 did not get the nonpartisan commission he wanted to draw the districts, but...
If you look at the states that have passed reform through their state legislatures, it is still the most significant reform to come through a state legislature in our country.
The 16-member commission would have 8 lawmakers and 8 citizens. Members of the House Legislative Black Caucus raised concerns the commission does not have seats guaranteed for African-American members. And progressive groups raised concerns that a deadlocked commission would mean the right-leaning Virginia Supreme Court would get to draw the maps. Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says the criticism might end up torpedoing the amendment.
Depending on how powerful or emboldened the progressive side of the Democratic caucus feels, this may not pass a second time, and it may actually not become a constitutional amendment that voters can vote on in 2020.
To be successful, the amendment would have to pass the General Assembly again next year, then be approved by voters. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, the name of a new residence hall on the campus of James Madison University will highlight the life of an enslaved African American. But can it coexist with other buildings on campus named after Confederate soldiers? WMRA's Bridget Manley reports.
On a crisp morning in Harrisonburg, construction workers are hard at work on a new residence hall that will house 500 JMU students this fall. The enormous structure looms over the Convocation Center on the east side of campus. But it's making news for another reason. After meeting with JMU students, the university has decided to name the building after James Madison's enslaved personal manservant, Paul Jennings. Jennings was born into slavery, served Madison both at Montpelier and at the White House, bought his own freedom, and later wrote the first memoir about life in the White House. Dr. Tim Miller is the Vice President of Student Affairs for the university. He says the idea to name a structure after Jennings had been talked about for a long time.
The Faculty Senate has talked about it in the past and has discussed this and tried to think about how we could sort of recognize and honor the history and legacy of Paul Jennings. So it's been around for a while, but this sort of came out on a separate approach. We had this new residence hall, and when you build a building, you have to name it. And one of the things that we thought of in the residence life team was, why don't we ask our students what they think? So we just opened it up to students, to the community, really, and asked if people had ideas.
The name of the building is part of a larger initiative on campus to create a more inclusive experience for all students, as well as to address some of the university's racist past. Students have been working with faculty on a diversity task force and last year displayed an exhibit titled Black and White on Bluestone Hill, which included photos from university yearbooks depicting blackface in Greek life and other theater productions. Raleigh Marshall is a 2005 graduate of JMU and a descendant of Jennings. He says the family is excited to participate in helping the university in any way it can, noting that Jennings' story is one of hope.
I think there's another potential lesson in there, and that's one of, kind of hope. But if you think about Paul Jennings' story, he was an enslaved man until in his 40s, but he was still able to, become a landowner. He was still able to become a father. He was able to liberate his children eventually. I think all three of his sons actually were Union soldiers. So, we put our blood on the line, too.
This is also part of the legacy of slavery that James Madison University must come to terms with.
Activist Stephen Thomas is co-founder of the Harrisonburg-Rockingham County chapter of Coming to the Table. He says that he sees the naming of the hall in honor of Jennings as a positive first step. But Thomas also points out that three buildings on campus are still named in honor of Confederate soldiers and officers, and he would like to see change there as well.
Maury Hall, named after a Confederate naval commander. Jackson Hall, named after a Confederate general. Ashby Hall, named after a Confederate officer. These names came about around 1917 when James Madison University's faculty decided to rename some of the buildings that were being constructed on campus after Confederate soldiers and quote-unquote heroes, in line with what came to be known as the Lost Cause narrative. And that Lost Cause narrative is one that was perpetuated throughout the South.
Miller notes that there have been discussions about renaming the three buildings, but nothing concrete has been proposed. He also argues that the new dorm and new name is a chance to make a positive change at JMU.
Hey, this is a chance for us to really step up as an institution. And while lots of people are talking about subtraction and changing names, let's step forward and do something additive and positive on our campus in this way and honor this person's legacy. As someone who's not in history books.
But as Virginia's racist history comes into greater focus with blackface scandals engulfing two of Virginia's top politicians, it's unlikely the discussions will end there. For WMRA News, I'm Bridget Manley.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Tuesday.